Okay. Haistel Mechsoy Lechsanya. I want to first and foremost thank Elia and Benny for opening up their bias to all of us. It's really a schus to be here. I feel so close to them. To be able to share words of Chizik and Azoris and their bias is something on a personal level very, very, very special. We go way back in many, many ways. And Mirtz Hashem, it should be a big schus for only Simcha and only Bracha for you and Ben Zion and the entire Mishpacha and Mirtz Hashem. It's incredible to be here together. Be back in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Baruch Hashem, we have many who have the schus to be living here right now. Some of us that are visiting, but those that are visiting, we have to believe we live here. And I tell everybody, I just visit America. This is home. This is home. I might visit America for many more days than I'm in Eretz Yisrael during the year. But we all have to feel, Libi B'Mizrach, we have to feel that this is our home, and we all do feel it. We have to believe that, we have to know that, we have to yearn, those of us that live here already, Baruch Hashem, and those of us that should yearn to be here, and yearn to stay here. And hopefully we'll all be Zoyche to stay here, Bezer Hashem. You know, a lot of people constantly ask me, how long are you here until, Rebbe? When are you here until? I said, I'm here forever. I have a ticket for Matzei Shabbos, but I hope to be here forever. We daven three times a day that we're going to be here forever. So Mirtz Hashem, that will eventually, Bez Hashem, of Gula, of Simcha, of Bracha. But it's really special to be able to share words of Chizik, words of Zoras, words of Torah, in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Many of us have had this chus many times to learn together in Chutz La'aretz, but it's a different Torah here. Avir da'ara machkim, the air of Yerushalayim, the air of Eretz Yisrael, it causes us to be smarter. What does that mean? It's easier to connect. It's easier, it's more conducive to feel and to allow the Torah to penetrate our lives. So we've all had this chus, Baruch Hashem, many of us, to learn together. Maybe you've heard the shiur and want to also just thank Daniela who's here. Daniela who had a big part in putting this together. And really, I don't want to embarrass her too much, but Daniela is really the matriarch in a certain sense of all the women's learning that's going on that I have this chus to be a part of, because she started already a few years ago in her house. That's not a home because it's in America. In America we only have houses. Here we have homes. So in her parents' house started a shiur that we started once a month, and then we went to once every 2 weeks. And now Baruch Hashem pretty much weekly. And then that turned into the WhatsApp chat that I don't know who's on here. If you're not on, please let me know. We could add you to share the Torah and to be mechazik and to learn together. So really, Daniela has a big part of that, and has a big part in putting this together as well. I want to thank her. But Avir Dara Machim means when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's just so much more conducive to feel the Kedusha of the Torah, the Ruchnis of the Torah. I could understand the Torah in America as well, but does it hit my heart? It might hit my head, but does it hit my heart? Every time I sit and learn Torah, the Baal HaTanya of Shner Zalman of Liadi in the Tanya in Perek Dalet says I'm giving the Rabbono Shel Olam a hug. I'm not just learning some intellectual knowledge and learning about Parshas and Sefer Bereishis and Shemos. I'm giving the Rabbono Shel Olam a hug. I'm connecting to Hashem. Sometimes we learn Torah, we don't always feel that. We just said, we should be feeling that. In Eretz Yisrael, somehow it's a little bit easier. Because I'm in the greater home of the Rabbono Shel Olam, so it's easier to feel His embrace. So it's a schus to learn together and hopefully to connect to Hashem together. And Emir Hashem, this will be the first of many. Elio, it's okay to start the weekly shiur here because Mirtz Hashem Mashiach's coming. We have to find somewhere, okay? Mirtz Hashem. A few years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael with my family. I want to share something that some of you have shared this with before, but I was thinking about it last night when I was by the Kaisel for the first time this trip. I was in Eretz Yisrael with my family in the summer. It was the end of August. We had a beautiful trip. Every day, you know, you're very busy going on Tulim, going to places. And the end of every single night, so I'd go with my son, Shmuel, who's now learning in Eretz Yisrael as well. And we go to the Kaisel. And we go, we daven Ma'ariv, and we sit and we learn a little bit together. And we talk. And that first night, which is always very exciting when you're back at the Kaisel for that first time, you haven't been there in a while. And we get there, and we dive and we talk, we learn a little, and I say to him, you know what, Shmuel, before we go back, let's both go and spend a few moments talking to Hashem. A few moments talking to Hashem at the Kaisel Min Alev. It's very important. You know, we know about davening Shachos Mincha Meirev. And we know about davening Tehillim. You could daven in your own words also. And just talk to Hashem from your heart. Bakashos, asking Hashem for that which we need, that which we want. Thanking Hashem for all that He's done for us. It's a very big movement these days. Thank you, Hashem. That's awesome. It's incredible. Thank you, Hashem. We have to thank Hashem throughout the day. And we do thank Hashem. We make brachas. And we daven just to say thank you, Hashem. Something good happens to us. To say thank you, Hashem. And bring Hashem into our lives. So I said, Shmuel, let's go daven. It's a story I share often, a story that I think about all the time because it has changed my life, this story. And I see, I go and daven, and he goes and davens. And I watch him, he davened like literally like 2 minutes. Literally like 2 minutes. And I said, Shmuel, afterwards, in a little bit of a joking way, you know, you never want to give too hard muster to your own son. I said, Shmuel, what's up? Like, that's all you got for God? 2 minutes? 2 minutes, that's it? Like, their first time back, we haven't been in a Kaisel, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe 9 months, the last time he was there at that point, I don't remember exactly. I said, only 2 minutes. He looks at me, he says, Tati. I was thinking about it. And there's so many things that we daven for. And there's so much that we need. But there's really only one thing. There's only one thing I want. There's only one thing I need. There's only one thing I need to daven for. Simchas Achayim. All that I need is to be happy. And that's all I need to daven for. Because if I'm happy, it means I have everything. If I'm happy, I mean, why do we daven for parnasa, for sustenance? Because that's going to bring me happiness. And we daven for Bez Hashem Shiduchim. And we daven for children. All of that is will bring us simcha. If I daven for simcha, if I'm besimcha always, I'm good. So I daven for simcha. I only had one thing I needed to daven for. I talked to Hashem. I daven to Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Shmuel happens to be Baruch Hashem, very besimcha like a person. But he told me something very, very special that night that I think about all the time. There's nothing more important in this world than being besimcha. And that each and every one of us wants that so badly. And Baruch Hashem, I'm sure, often are. But we need to always be besimcha. We all want to be always besimcha. Where are we going to find simcha sachayim? Always. Every moment of our lives. To always be besimcha. So we should understand that, I believe deeply, there are two keys to simcha sachayim. Two maftechos. First of all, the Maral speaks at length of the deep connection between simcha and shlemus. Happiness is dependent on being complete. What does it mean, being complete? It means I'm lacking nothing. Well, think about it for a moment. Anytime I'm not besimcha, anytime I'm sad, is because I'm lacking something. There's a chisaron in my life. So lo aleinu, somebody is sick, I'm lacking my health. Lo aleinu, I don't have enough parnasa, I'm lacking finance. I get into a fight with a friend of mine, that relationship is lacking. There's some chisaron, there's something lacking. If I'm sholem, if I'm complete, so I'm besimcha. But shlemus is not just in what I have, and we'll get to that in a moment. Shlemus is also an action. If I'm being productive every single moment, if I'm making the most of the time that Hashem has gifted me, I'm going to feel besimcha with myself, because I'm shalem. We are control of our simcha sachayim ultimately. If I'm utilizing my time, and if I'm being productive in my time, I'm going to be besimcha. Now, I have this class in DRS to teach seniors. And every single year, seniors, this time of the year, after that was winter vacation, after, deal with guys that are always like going through times of, I don't want to say clinical depression, but sadness, not as happy as they should be. And time again, it's guys, because the end of senior year, and some of you might remember this, like school is pretty meaningless. And the grades don't matter anymore. You're already in your yeshivas, in your seminaries. You finished with college already. And then those guys that are on basketball teams or hockey teams or whatever it might be, that ends like soon after the beginning of the second semester. And a guy looks in the mirror and a young woman looks in the mirror and says, I'm not happy. And why am I not happy? They don't realize it at the time. I have to sit and we talk and explain. But ultimately, I'm not being productive. Ultimately, I'm not happy because I'm not happy with myself. If I'm being shalom with myself, as I'm doing and I'm being productive, then the more productive I am, the more meaningful my days are, the more besimcha I'm going to be. I'm in control of my simchas achayim. We have to empower ourselves and believe in that. That's first and foremost. Secondly, it's with tremendous emuna and bitachon in Hashem. When I deeply believe Hashem is by my side every moment. Not, we all baruch Hashem, we all believe in Hashem, we know Hashem created the world, and we know Hashem put us here, and Hashem is watching over. No, He's with me every moment. Hashem is by my side every moment. And everything that happens in my life is from Hashem. And it's what Hashem knows is best for me, and I really deeply connect to that. And then I believe also, as Chazal teach us, kol ma dav rachmano latav avid. I really believe everything Hashem is best, is good. So I'm going to be shalem in my life of whatever is occurring to me. Meaning there's the shlemus of what I'm doing with myself. There's being complete in my avoda. And the shlemus of what's happening around me, which is from Hashem. But when I accept and I believe it's all from Hashem, and I believe Hashem is by my side, that's going to translate into the greatest simchas achayim in the world. But there's a problem. This is easy when we hear about it and we learn about it. What about to live it? To truly live these ideals. To truly live a life of simcha every single moment, because it's what each and every one of us wants so badly. So I want to share with you some special Torah that I at Mamish some new chidushim Rabbanu Shalom brought me Mamish for this, for you. I feel it's for you. There's an incredible story in this week's parasha that we all know. But you have to realize it in the following light. We all know, we all learned about when Moshe Rabbeinu, he stood by the burning bush, by the snare, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe. And we all know the story. And we all know Moshe Rabbeinu took off his shoes, and Hashem spoke to him and asked him to lead us out of Mitzrayim. And at first Moshe was hesitant, as we know. We all know the story. But did you think about it and you realize, these are the very first words and first conversation that Hashem spoke to Moshe. Moshe, we know, is our greatest leader of all time. Moshe had nevuah like no other Navi. Moshe had what's called Aspaklaria Meira, a clear and present discussion with God. No other Navi had discussions with God. It's very confusing in the Torah, you should know. You open up a Chumash and you think God was speaking to Avram and God speaking to... God only spoke the way we speak to each other to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every other Navi had to fall into what's called the Tardema, read the Rambam Hilchos Nevuah, and fell into some comatose trance and had some dream that they had to interpret. Even Avram Avinu! When it says, Vayom Hashem Avram Lech Lecha, or Vayom Hashem Avram, you know, Kachnas Pincha, take your son, that was his interpretation of the Nevuah. But it wasn't a conversation like that. Only Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who brought us the Torah, who was up in Shemayim for 40 days, but we don't even know what that means. Let's be real. We don't know what any of this means. Like literally spoke to God the way we speak to each other. So the very first words have to be fundamental. The very first words have to be like the deepest of deep. Have to be building our lives and in Yiddishkeit in ways that no other words ever have, perhaps. So what are the very first words? So Moshe's standing there, and there's this burning bush, and he hears the God say, Al tikrav halom. First he says, Al tikrav halom. Don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. And if you look in the Ramban and others, it's because where God was, this fiery burning bush, was obviously full of tremendous holiness, tremendous kedusha, and basically Moshe wasn't roy, Moshe wasn't fit. Al tikrav halom, don't come close. You're not fit yet. You need to still, by the way, the big lesson, just realizing Moshe Rabbeinu needed to work on himself. Moshe Rabbeinu needed to grow. We all do. Our whole lives we do. We should never be satiated in who we are. Our whole lives is to grow. So, Al tikrav halom, don't come close. But then what? Shal na'alecha me'araglecha, take off your shoes from upon your feet. Ki hamakom asher ata omed sham admas kodeshu. Because the place that you're standing is holy ground. Trevor, what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, I don't understand. Which one is it? Seems like a steer, a contradiction. In the very first words that God is speaking to Moshe, he says, don't come close, because this is holy, over here is holy. Then he says, take off your shoes, because where you are is holy. Which one is it? Is here holy or is there holy? Is where God is holy or Moshe is holy? And if it's so holy, why are you standing there? What's going on? So one answer that I have to share with you because it's so beautiful, and this answer I've shared before. I don't remember with our chaver, other maybe some have heard. One answer is a Chavetz Chaim, and this is just it's a tremendous chizik. This Chavetz Chaim that we all need. The Chavetz Chaim says that there are places and there are times that are inherently full of tremendous kedusha, tremendous holiness. Shabbos Kodesh is just full of holiness. Whether you prepared well or you didn't, you walk into Shabbos, it's a holy time. That's a holy time. Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh, the old city standing by Kodesh Maravi, is a holy place. We feel different there. There are places, there are times that are inherently full of Kedusha, full of holiness. That's the snap. That was God's presence. But then there's another type of holiness. There's a holiness that each and every one of us can create. There's a holiness that comes from within us, through our learning, through our davening, through our acts of chesed, through our mitzvahs, through our growth. And that's Hamokom Asher Atom Eid Sham, the place that you are standing, Admas Kodeshu. That is holy ground. That also could be holy. But that's up to you. That's up to your growth. That's up to what you've achieved. That's what you've accomplished. But you could make anywhere holy. And that itself is a big chizik. If we stop there, I think it would be worth coming here just to share that idea, to understand, because some of us, we feel, and I'm standing by the kaisel, I can finally dive, and I'm Shabbos Kodesh, and I feel it. But let's be real, if I'm going to be Ichvesh, it's a random Tuesday afternoon in Queens College, and feel close to God, it's a little bit difficult. God is here. God is in Queens College. I'm looking at all what's going on, and we don't have to, we're in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. We're not going to give the examples, but we look around, not by the Umos Oilam, by our own brothers and sisters, what's going on. No. Hamokom Hashem Omen Adas Kodesh. You can make that place holy, wherever you are. It's not just when you're here, and you're in seminary, or you're back in seminary, and you're in Yerushalayim, and you come back, and for whatever reason, have to, it's Chutz Loretz. Wherever you are, it's the summer, and you're in summer Echvestish, you're in Camp Ask for the summer, you're in wherever it might be for the summer. Hamokom Asher Omed Sham Admas Kodesh. You have to believe that could be holy ground as well. You have to make that holy ground. If you're a Kaddish person, you have a Neshama Lekis within you. You know what you have within you? You know what we all have within us? We have a soul. You know what that means? Wait, do you know what that means? You know what the soul is, Tanya explains, is Chelek Eloka Mimal Mamish. Just understand those words. Chelek Eloka, a part of God, Mimal, the heavenly God, Mamish. Like really. Like every single one of us has a piece of God inside us. So you're going to tell me I can only be Frum and I can only be Stark and only be Tznius and only be the best I could be when I'm in Yerushalayim and I'm in seminary in these years? Kaisel's great. I love the Kaisel. I said, when I come, I stay in the old city. I like to end every day by the Kaisel, start every day by the Kaisel. It's awesome. I have offers to stay in other places. I stay in the old city. It's great. Shabbos, Mama Shabbos is how much we look forward to Shabbos Kodesh. How much we live from one Shabbos to the next as a Jew, right? Yom Kippur, Purim, Mama Purim. Big days, big times, holy places. But you know what you have within you? God! So I can't make anywhere holy. I have God within me. I have the Ribbono Shel Olam within me. Anywhere I am, it could be holy. That itself is awesome. But this year, I saw this pasuk differently. In those words, I think there's another... That answers the question. But I think there's another lesson in these very first words That answers the stira, to understand the two levels of holiness, and gives a chizik to each and every one of us, and a belief in ourselves that I can make anywhere holy. That I'm holy. I'm not dependent on anywhere, or any time, or any place. But there's another deep lesson in these words, these very first words, Moshe Rabbeinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaMakom Asher Ata Omeid Shama Admas Kodeshu. Because let's open up and let's be real. What is one of the biggest deterrents in our lives to why we are not as B'Simcha Zeh should be? Yes, we understand how we started. Simcha Zeh Chaim is so dependent on feeling that Shlemus and feeling close to Hashem. But you know what is one of the biggest deterrents and what destroys often our Simcha Zeh Chaim? If we're honest and we're real, it's often sadly looking around at everybody else and trying to be like everybody else. And I see this person who's putting this time into her learning in this ways, and this way, this person who has these goals in davening, and I'm not that, and then I feel bad about myself. And then I want to be like that, and I want to do that. That's beautiful out of Kinosophim. To want to grow within yourself, we should always want to grow. But when I want to be someone I'm not, it's very dangerous and destroys our Simchas Chaim. You know the very first words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu? HaMakom Asher Ata Omeid Sham. The place that you're standing in. I mean, your place, meaning you. Admas Kodeshu, that's holiness. Don't look around at anybody else. Don't look around at anybody else. Whether it's with kina, whether it's with jealousy, or whether it's trying to be someone you're not. Be yourself, be your best self, but be yourself. And everybody in this room is different. And we have different kolchos, we have different abilities, we have different challenges. We have different ways to connect to Hashem. Be real, be true. That's when you'll be most happy. Even with everything else we spoke about. But if you're not, even if you understand that I'm leading a meaningful life, a productive life, and I feel Hashem by my side, but I'm being someone or not, you're going to be miserable. Because you don't feel good about yourself. Trying just to impress others and do things for others. To be simchadik in this world, you have to be yourself. And sometimes that's very challenging. Sometimes we're taught things that are not for everybody. And then I think, if I'm not that, then I'm not b'simcha. You know, we'll talk real here. We'll talk real. In many of the seminaries, so it's pushed by certain teachers and certain people, that l'chachila, and the only way that you're an emistic bas Torah, is if you have aspirations to sit and learn, to marry a kollel younger man who's going to sit and learn for the next 20 years, and you should be Moser Nevesh, and you should work day and night with six kids, and figure it out, and if not, and if that's not what you aspire, it's okay, but it's secondary, it's b'di'evet. Your aspirations, that's what it should be. Everybody, that's what everyone's aspiration should be. Only if your husband's sitting and learning all day, and you sacrifice for them and take care of everything else. That's what you should be. That's what a tzaddikus is. That's what a true tzaddikus is. Otherwise, yeah, you're okay. I mean, you could be from. You might make it to Olam Haba, but like there are levels up there. You're not going to be in the palace. You'll be in some shack up there. Obviously, I mean, hey. Sheker. Now, don't get me wrong. Is that for some individuals? And that's their l'chachil, but maybe that's not who you are. And maybe you're going to live a very miserable life if that's who you are. And you don't think a man, a ben Torah, who wakes up 5 o'clock in the morning to sit and learn for 2 hours, and then gets on a train and goes makes parnassus so he could support his family and send all his kids to yeshiva and live a normal, healthy lifestyle, and then comes home and spends time with his kids, and learns with them, and is mechazik them, and is with them, and then at 10 o'clock at night goes back to the base medrash for an hour or two. You don't think that individual, and whether he's a doctor, whether he's an attorney, you don't think marrying such a person is kodesh kedoshim? You don't think that person's going to be in the same palace with the guy sitting and learning kollel? 100%. Because that's, if they're being their best self. And you have to know what your best self is. And be true to yourself. And be real. And be honest. HaMokom Asher Ata Omeid Admas Kodeshu. Where you standing? Again, it wasn't to say there aren't people that are avoiders to sit and learn all day and be Moser Nefesh in that way. That's for some individuals. Perhaps. Not so sure, but there's another, we won't go there right now. But you have to be true to yourself. And be real, and find yourself, and find what emes is. And not try to be someone you're not. And if you try to be someone you're not, ultimately, the only one that's going to lose out is yourself. And again, don't disregard. I have the utmost respect. I don't want you to take this in the wrong way for those who are Moser Nefesh. I have the utmost respect for those who are Moser Nefesh, for Torah, and sitting and learning, and that's their avoida, and that's what they believe is emes for them. That's beautiful and amazing, and that's a lechachila as well. That's another lechachila. Did you open up last week's parsha? You open up last week's parsha, did you read through? You're women. You guys all know every word by heart. For whatever reason, I don't know, Minhag Yisrael in the Beis Yaakov's is that you should learn the brachos of Yaakov Avinu and sing them and know, right? You all did songs to it and you know every word of the brachos by heart. Or maybe some of you looking around, some of you not. I don't know. That's what, for some reason, that was something that's chashiv and done in the Beis Yaakov's, to know Birchas Yaakov by heart. Maybe it's for this very reason. You know why? Did you pay attention to the laning last week? Did you read the parsha? Yaakov Avinu gives 12 different brachos. You know what he tells his 12 shvatim? Listen, and we can't be, I don't think any of us can say we're above the Shvatim. The Shiftei Kah! Right? We're the holiest of holies. He gives each of them a different avodah in life. His brachos were, you're going to go and work and support Torah. And you're going to sit and learn. And you're going to, he goes through each one and explains what's he, I don't even, by the way, you read through those brachos, where are the brachos? Does he say, oh, you should be zochet at parnasa, and you can have beautiful children, anywhere brachos? You know what the biggest bracha was? Yaakov Avinu pointing out to each and every one of his 12 Shvatim. This is who you are. Be yourself. And be your best self. And there are 12 different paths. L'chad chila in Avodas Hashem. That's what his bracha was. Amokom Ashrecha Omed Admas Kodesho. Be yourself. Be true to yourself. And that's when you'll be besimcha. I believe that was the key to Geula as well. Think about it for a moment, right? Well, these are the first words to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're in Mitzrayim. We're in Mitzrayim, and we're in the 49th level of Tumah. We fell very, very low. Why were we Zoyche to Geula? So the famous Chazal, that we didn't change Shinam, Malbushim, our clothing, Lashonam, our language. We didn't change our clothing, we didn't change our language, and the Shemam, and our names. You know what that was saying? We weren't, on some levels we were, but at least in these ways, we didn't fall prey to becoming like the Egyptians. We weren't influenced in those ways. We stayed true to ourselves. I believe it's the MS to dress like this. I don't care what everybody else around me is dressing like. I'm going to stay and dress in the way that I think is MS. I think it's MS to speak in a particular way. Even though some of my friends and some others are speaking in a way that's different, I stay MS. I speak in the way that I'm supposed to speak. I'm not embarrassed because I go in a place and other people have names that, whatever it might be, this is who I am. I'm myself. My name is my essence. I'm myself. I'm true to myself. Geula. That's what the Geula was based upon. Because Geula was based upon being true to yourself. That's all of our personal Geulas are based upon. Be real. Be true to yourself. We live in a world that's very, very hard. It means we have to separate somewhat to find myself. Separate somewhat from society and the way we grew up. We live in a world with technology and smartphones where there's so much connection to the outside world and the pressures of the outside world. And the pressures of what the outside world, the immoral world, tells us is MS and is best. And we try to dress in that way and act in that way and be in that way. And no longer am I myself and who I really am. I have to learn to disconnect from that. And learn to disconnect, you know. There needs to be Gedarim, you know, many. There's so much talk, and when it comes to men, with the importance of Kedarim on smartphones and on technology, because there's certain inyanim that obviously are struggles and challenges for men that women might not be in the same way, but it doesn't mean there aren't negativities for women as well. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us in being ultimately someone that I'm not, and not being true to myself. Shulshina, Shemam, Malbushim, and Lishonam. I think today it would also have to be also something to do with our phones. I don't know what the lashon would be, but figure it out to find geula and be true to ourselves. You know what's incredible? These were the first words spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hamakom asher ta'omed sham admas kodeshu. These are actually the very first words to Avraham Avinu as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was our greatest leader who brought us the Torah. But who was the first? Who was the one who found Judaism in a certain sense? The founder of Judaism is Avraham Avinu. So there again, let's analyze and see the first words spoken to him, because seemingly the first words spoken to him are also going to be precious, are also going to be fundamental. What are the very first words spoken to Avraham Avinu? Open up the first pasuk, you will know it in Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. He's still Avram at that point. He didn't get his hair yet. Lech Lecha me'artchem l'adchem ezavicha l'artz ha'sharekah. So Pashim Shat, just read it as a long sentence. You have to go and leave and get away from your homeland. Go and from your birthplace and go to a place where I'm going to show you. But just take in a vacuum the first two words. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Perhaps we could suggest. Lech Lecha. Go to yourself. Go find yourself. Be true to yourself. First words. To Moshe, Hamokim Shadao, Asher Ato made Admas Kodeshu. Where you are is holy. First words to Avram, Lech Lecha, go find yourself. Be real, be true. It's the biggest key to happiness. Is being yourself. Being true to yourself. How do you find that? So the rest of the pasuk, Lech Lecha, how? You have to take yourself out and make sure you're not being influenced by your culture. You're not being influenced even by our homes. We have beautiful homes. I'm sure you all have beautiful parents and beautiful siblings. And you should be close to them and love them always. But sometimes we grow up with ideals and philosophies that might not be truly who I am and what I believe in. I'm just living this way because I was born that way, because I was raised that way. And I need to step away from that to find myself. Lech lecha, how me'artcha me'latach be'zavicha. Leave it all for a moment. Leave artcha, leave your culture. Leave that society. Me'latach, your birthplace, which are the people closest to you, your friends sometimes. Of course, have friends always, and be social, and be connected. But learn how to walk away to make sure you are yourself. Be'zavicha, and even your own family. Doesn't lo aleinu, not that we should ever leave. We should always be close to our family. But find yourself. We're all different. And just because your parents have a certain hashkaf in a certain way, doesn't mean that's truly who you are. And you have to be honest and be real. And that's how you'll be most besimcha in this world. By being true to yourself. By lech lecha. And be able to walk away. And be able to differentiate between how we've started our lives and who we're becoming at this crucial point in time when I'm really trying to find myself. I'm really trying to develop. I'm really trying to build the framework for my whole life. You know, we have this list of who are married in here, maybe a little bit engaged. Most in this room are during those transformative years where you're building your foundation of how everything else is going to be based upon. You want it to be very real and very true so that you could build on that in such a beautiful way. But it takes sincerity, it takes honesty, and it takes being yourself. You know, I had this chus, every time I come to Eretz Yisrael, it's something very hard for me that I don't have this chus to go visit my Rebbe Amori. Nothing to be thinkal Zecher Tzadik HaShavaracha. The Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir, was a Gadol Hadar who you all know and all have heard of. And at this chus that I was very, very close with him. And it's very hard. My highlight of every trip to Eretz Yisrael, for me personally, actually wasn't like going to the Kaisel, which was incredible and always incredible. It was the time I spent with my Rebbe every trip to Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't a trip I didn't go to his Erev Shabbos Shmuz that he was given in his house and go meet with him and talk. And so much of who I am is only because of having that beautiful kesher that I cherish. And now I come to Eretz Yisrael, and it's something lacking in every trip that I don't have this chus to go meet with my Rebbe. It's emes. And if I started talking about him and how special he was in every way, we'd be here all night. I don't know, some of you maybe are okay with that, I'm not sure. I have to speak in the Old City at 10:30 in Yeshiva, so I can't go too long. Nonsvi Finkel was Rashiv the Mir. The Mir Yeshiva is known as, you know, it's the biggest yeshiva in the world. It's a textbook, you know, yeshivish yeshiva, quote unquote, whatever that means. You know what was incredible? Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. He cherished and loved every single Talmud, no matter who you were, no matter what your background was, no matter what color shirt you were wearing, no matter what type of yarmulke you were wearing, it mattered zero to him. Zero. And he showed you the same love and the same affection. And all that did was build you into being wanting to be the best person you could be. Just spending time with him. Because he was able, he broke away from all the negative and he realized, you know what's most important? Learn Torah to the best of your ability. Daven to the best of your ability. Do chesed to the best of your ability. Everything else, whatever you choose, whatever you find, you have to find yourself within that. You have to find yourself within that. And that's who he was. And that's what he stood for. Lech lecha, go find yourself. Amakom asher ta'omed sham ad mas kodesh, who you are is holy. Don't ever want to be someone you're not. Want to be the best you. Want to be the best you. And then you'll be b'simcha every moment. Ela oretz asher areka. You'll end up ela oretz asher areka. We know that's Eretz Yisrael. It's Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh, right? Areka happens to be Gematria 222, which is exactly Gematria Bracha. You know what you're going to find when you live up to yourself and just be yourself? El Aretz Asher Areka. You'll find a life of Bracha. You'll feel blessed every moment because you'll be Besimcha every moment. Every moment you'll be Besimcha. And that's what all of us want. I want to read you a story. Story I read many years ago, and I just this last week happened to open up to it. It happens to be an incredible story. But Mamish, all that it is telling about a Yid who for many years was not living up to who he should be and who he himself was. And he was reminded of that. And he went and he wasn't afraid to go find himself. Most of the elderly people in San Francisco Bay Area are retired. They've either lived there for a long time or have moved there to live out the rest of their lives in a pleasant and relaxed environment. The last thing they're looking for is a major transformation in their lifestyle. But the silver-haired gentleman in his mid-70s had done just that. He had just become a Baal Tshuva. His story began in 1938. It was 2 days before Yom Kippur, the day that the 13 attributes of Hashem, the Yugim Mitzrachim, are read aloud in distinct paragraph during Slichos and invoked in a special prayer. The solemn occasion is viewed as somewhat of a prelude to Yom Kippur. On this significant day, it was customary for the Belzer Rebbe and his Rebbes to prepare special candles for various members of their European community. The preparation of these candles, regarded as a sacred, hallowed custom, as a ceremony of lighting the candle, symbolized that the Or HaGonaz, the veiled radiance inside one's neshama, the holy light of Hashem, was similarly illuminated. Only a few privileged individuals were allowed into the Rebbe's private chamber when these candles were ignited. One of those was Meir the Shochet. He had come to the Rebbe with Baruch, his six-year-old son, to spend some time in close proximity of the Rebbe. And now in the Rebbe's inner sanctum, Baruch innocently began to ask for whom each candle was lit. Although the Rebbe answered patiently, those who were gathered around were shocked at the impudence of this youngster. But when one of the Rebbe's attendants attempted to quiet the young boy, the Rebbe questioned him to be patient. And whom is this candle meant for? Baruch pointed to one specific candle. This time, the Rebbe held onto the young boy's finger as he smiled warmly at the inquisitive child. There's a city in America they have never heard of. It's called San Francisco. This candle is predestined even for a Yid in a faraway place like San Francisco, who may be lost and looking to find himself, searching to find his neshama. This candle's for him. You hear these words? Is the Belzer Rebbe in 1938? How he even knew what San Francisco was? Were there any Yidden even in San Francisco in 1938? I haven't. The vicious Nazi war machine destroyed all that Baruch held dear. He survived the war, a young man without a family, a body without a soul. He eventually made his way to the shores of America where he met a young woman. And although she was not Jewish, it no longer mattered to him. He married her. For 50 years, Judaism did not exist in his life. One evening, Baruch, now a distinguished silver-haired gentleman in his mid-70s, was walking down the streets of San Francisco. When he found himself standing in front of a synagogue, something pushed him towards the building. He tried to fight the urge to go inside, but he felt strangely compelled to inch closer until finally, cautiously, he walked into the building. He peeked inside and saw a sea of white. He remembered, though the memories were dim with age. Then the sounds of the men praying came rushing through his memory in a flash. His head began to ache and his eyes filled with tears. His soul was touched. It yearned and thirsted for once was. His heart began to pound wildly. He heard a cynical voice inside his head urging him to ignore the feelings and thoughts that threatened his dormant soul. But he couldn't stop what was happening. He needed to come closer to feel the locked away emotions once again. And then he opened a book, a sitter, and he cried and cried and cried. He did not know if he could ever be welcome again. He had, after all, long ago abandoned Judaism and married a non-Jew. He was as lost as a Jew had ever been. He was sure it was too late. Perhaps 20 or 30 years ago he could have started over, but not now. Now? When he was past 70? He was about to walk out, about to turn his back on all this forever. And then he saw lit candles in glass cups. And he remembered the candle from so many years ago. There's a candle for me, too. I remember the Rebbe's words. He was talking about me. He picked up the sitter once again. The words called out to find to him from the distant past. It was late. The sun was setting. It was time for the Ne'ila service to begin. It was time for those who had waited to do tshuva. It was late, but there was still time. Hashem wanted him back. This is a Yid who for 50 years let Arzachom Ladach Vesavicha penetrate his soul and was no one who he should be. Now this story, you could talk about the amazing Ruach HaKodesh of the Belzer Rebbe, who somehow, I mean, it's beyond us, how Rebbe in 1938, 50 years later, could talk about it. 50 years earlier, talking about a candle that's going to ignite a soul in San Francisco. What a schus to be part of this nation. What a schus to be part of Klal Yisrael. To hear a story like this. What a schus to be with tzaddikim who could see, who have the eyes to be able to see and know what we need and know what they have to say. And there are no words, just... We don't need to say words. We're Klal Yisrael. We get it, you know? But to me, that's incredible. That's not what this story's about. You know what this story's about? It's about being you. And this Yid, as far as he was for so long, all he needed to have, one Ne'ilah, one candle, and he remembered who he really was. And he went back. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be you. I'm going to be Lech Lecha. I'm going to be Hamok B'Shara Asher Atom Eid Amis Kodeshu. Baruch Hashem, I have no worries, no daigas that anyone in this room needs a chizik in falling in such a way like this Yid did. But we don't want to be 50 years from now and see something to remind us that for the past 50 years I haven't been true to myself. I want to be b'simcha every moment. I want to be myself. I want to be you. And be the best you. And don't worry about who anyone else is. And don't worry about what anyone else tells you you have to be. Of course you have teachers, you have mentors, you have rabbeim, you have people in your life that you have to learn from and grow from. But you also have yourself, and you have to balance that and know and be true. And most importantly, we have the Torah. The Torah is our guide and light. Ki ne'er mitzvah v'Torah ar. You have the schus, we're in the Eretz Yisrael, and we're learning Torah together. This is our guide and light. To find yourself within it. Within the beautiful Torah that Hashem has given us. He's given us a plan. And He told us what's chashiv in our life. And davening is chashiv. And Shabbos is chashiv. And midos tovas is chashiv. And dressing sneezes is chashiv. But exactly how? We all have different style. We all dress differently here. Everybody in this room is wearing different clothing. Every single one. That's beautiful. That's okay. Find your style in life. Find your style in Yiddishkeit. But be true and be real. And that's what will be meaningful to you your whole life. That's when it's going to be something so special your whole life. Don't try to be someone you're not. There's a Gemara. The Gemara is a Gemara that on the surface is as puzzling as could be. And the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei Amebeis. And the Gemara says, Tanar Abanam Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Aleim B'chol Yom. There are three people that God cries about every single day. Three people that God is crying about. Who's God crying about? You don't want to be a part of this, right? First person, Al She'efshir La'asuk B'Torah Vein Osik. Person is able to learn Torah, able to delve into Torah, and is not doing it. Is wasting their time. Involved in other endeavors when they could be learning and should be learning. Hashem cries about that person. They're missing out. I'm sad. I want that person to be learning Torah. The men, who obviously have a little bit more of a chiyuv in ways, and the women as well, when you can be learning. Again, there are times in your life, b'shat tova, you can have a lot of responsibilities, Bez Hashem. When you have the time now to learn, to build that foundation in such a strong way, and if you're not doing it, efshir lasuk v'lo osik, Hashem's crying. That makes sense. The next person, is difficult to understand. Val she'i efshir lasuk b'torah v'osik. Someone who's not able to learn Torah, and still learns Torah. That's awesome. Right? That's awesome. Someone who has a difficult time, is moshe nefesh for it, is sacrificing for it. Wow. Why is that a person Hashem's crying for? So we'll get back to that in a moment. And there's a third person. Val parnes hamizgal al tzibur. Someone who has a lot of parnasa, but is gaivetic about it, is haughty about it, shows it off. So that also we fully understand. Hashem gives him a matana and a responsibility. You know, it's very scary to be blessed with wealth. It's very scary. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, but it's very scary. Because it's a big responsibility. What are you doing with that wealth? How much Torah are you supporting? How many anim are you supporting? How are you using it? There's obviously a lot of temptation towards materialism and luxuries. What extent is that okay? What extent is that too much? It's a responsibility. It's not so simple. Think before you wish for something. But we understand if somebody does have that gift, does have that bracha, and has gaiva because of it, is hori because of it, sure, Hashem is crying. What are you doing? I just gave you a tremendous gift to help Klal Yisrael when you're being gaiva, like you had anything to do with this. So we understand person one and three. Person, yafshir lasuk v'osek. Person where it's very difficult to learn and learns Torah, Hashem's crying. So I always thought, just pshat in the Gemara as follows. It doesn't say it's hard to learn Torah, difficult to learn Torah. It says yafshir, it's impossible. You know what that means? Hashem's crying when it's someone trying to be someone they're not. Where Hashem, whatever reason, made you in this particular way, and this is who you're supposed to be, and you're trying to do something else? You're trying to be someone you're not? Hashem's crying. That's not what I want for my beautiful children. I want everyone to be their best self. I want everyone to be you. Just be happy and be you. Be your best you. Within Torah, within mitzvahs, within what's really important in life. Building your shemaim. Building humility. Building our midos, but being yourself. And when you are yourself, and when you are your best self, that's when you ultimately find constant, consistent simchas achayim. Chevru, we have this chus to be in our sesh all together. Hopefully, we're all staying Bez Hashem Yisparach. But most important is recognizing, like we said from the Chafetz Chaim, Hamakom Asher Ta'omed Admas Kodeshu, that's not just inherently holy places wherever we are. We could make holy. We're only going to make it holy if we're besimcha with who we are. Be yourself. Be true to yourself. Be your best self. And you'll see you'll find simcha every single moment of your life until we're all zoicha to the ultimate simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us all to stay with Mashiach Zakenu, with the Gula Shleima, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.